G'day folks, and welcome to the Footcast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. My name's Oliver Brandt, and with me this week is Angelo Valdivia.
Get bent, Paisanos.
Michael Guncals.
Hey, team.
And Luke Henderson.
Howdy, howdy.
We've got a great episode lined up for you this week, all about the Nintendo Direct. So let's get into it. So, immediately after we recorded our last episode, like the day after we recorded, Nintendo announced a Direct, which is always fun. And then the Direct happened the day after that. So, there was a bunch of stuff in the Direct. So we're going to go through them. I think we'll save discussions for after we've gone through the whole list, because at least like the non-big stuff. Yeah, quickly going through the list, there's Persona 5 Tactica, which is a tactical RPG spin-off of Persona 5. It's not a canon game like Persona 5 Strikers was, so it doesn't really affect the plot at all. It was first announced for Xbox, first it was leaked for everything, and then it was announced for Xbox, and then PlayStation, and then it got announced for Nintendo in the Direct. It's out November 17. The other game that was leaked and then announced was the Persona 3 Remake, which weirdly didn't show up here, but I imagine it will eventually come to Switch. Detective Pikachu Returns. It's a sequel to the 3DS game. Looks like absolute arse for some reason.
It looks like a 3DS game is what you meant to say.
It looks worse than
a 3DS game.
No, it's because they took the 3DS image and just stretched it out to flip the Switch.
Anyway, that's out October 6th. Luigi's Mansion 2, Dark Moon, which originally came out in the 3DS, is getting a remaster on Switch in 2024. There's the Batman Arkham Trilogy, which was rated for Switch in, like, 2018, and then just, like, never happened. But that has Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. Nobody's really sure how Arkham Knight is going to work, because that was kind of bad on PS4, and the Switch is not as powerful as a PS4.
That's what I've spent the last 5 years doing, is trying to get Arkham Knight working.
So that's out in spring 2023. There's a game called Manic Mechanics, which is made by, what's the name of the studio, Luke?
4J Studios.
4J Studios, who made the console versions of Minecraft before Microsoft took over and did the Bedrock Edition. So this looks kind of like Overcooked, but you're in like a mechanic workshop. It looks pretty fun overall. And it's out this month on the 13th. There's Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince. This is actually kind of an interesting game because they announced ages ago that they were working on a new Dragon Quest Monsters game. And then they were like, hey, we've actually reworked it into Dragon Quest Treasures, which came out like earlier this year. Then turns out, nope, they did not. And there's actually still another Dragon Quest Monsters. So for those who don't know, Dragon Quest Monsters is a creature catcher game, kind of like Pokemon. Except you can, like, fuse your monsters together, which is pretty cool. It's out December 1. Pikmin 1 and 2 were just, like, shadow dropped on the eShop, which was very surprising. It's not, like, a full remaster like, you know, Metroid Prime. So it's just rendered in HD. Otherwise, pretty much the same. It's been absolutely hilarious watching people play Pikmin for the first time on Twitter and other places, because like so many people just have never played a Pikmin game before. But if you want to do that, play it physically, you have to wait until September 22nd. Metal Gear Solid Collection includes Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3. This was announced a while ago. We didn't actually have any platforms for it at the time. Also has Metal Gear 1 and 2, the NES versions, but also Metal Gear Solid 2, the whatever.
The proper one, the MSX release.
Yeah, the MSX release. So yeah, Konami cheaped out on the cartridges. None of the actual Metal Gear Solid games are going to be on the cartridge. It's just going to be Metal Gear 1 and 2 and some of the bonus content, because it's like 54 gigs in total.
Also doesn't have Twin Snakes.
Which is a real bummer.
Which is nuts, considering that that was the GameCube. That was the Nintendo one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm assuming they just want it the same on all of the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Vampire Survivors is coming to Switch. Has a new co-op mode that is also going to be added into all the other versions.
Have we all been thoroughly addicted to Vampire Survivors in this chat? Luke hasn't played it?
No,
Luke hasn't played
that, it. Doesn't interest me.
Oh man, I was addicted to it. It's so, so good.
I wasn't interested in it, and then like one of my coworkers was like, "Hey,"
then 5 hours later.
Yeah, pretty much. One of my coworkers was like, "You should check it out just to see like why people are on it." I was like, "Yeah, all right, I'll check it out." And then yeah,
I just love work
that day.
Do you have a price for it? Because it's so cheap on PC. It's not going to have some BS Switch tax, is it? It's going to be like $35.
It'll probably be like $10 or something, because it's usually like $7, right, on Steam.
Yeah, I think it's even cheaper than that. Maybe I can't remember how much I paid for it. I paid nothing.
It will be overpriced, I'm sure.
I don't think it's on the store yet.
I don't recall seeing it.
No.
Yeah, usually $7.49. It's currently on sale on Steam for $5.61.
Okay, so it'll be $4.99 US, so probably the same as the Steam price.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah. And all of the DLCs will be priced the same as other platforms as well.
Cool.
Good to know. But yeah, that looks good. Out August 17. There's a new 3D platformer from the people who made Sonic Mania. So it's called Penny's Big Breakaway. It looks pretty good. And it's out early 2024. There's WarioWare Mover, which is a sequel to WarioWare Smooth Moves on the Wii. It's not like specifically a sequel in the English version, but the Japanese one is called Super Smooth Moves, so you know it is. So it's all motion games like Smooth Moves was. It's coming out on November 3rd. There's Tears of the Kingdom amiibo, Ganondorf and Zelda. They're too expensive according to Michael and everyone else who has money.
Is the normal price, I guess, but
yeah,
I think the normal price for amiibo now is $21.95, right? Or is it?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah? Okay, yeah. So just Ganondorf then. Ganondorf's like $30 because, I don't know, I guess everyone's thirsting on Ganondorf, but it's just dumb.
And there's a Princess Peach game coming in 2024 with no details. We just saw like a short teaser where her dress glowed for a bit, and then it's like, oh yeah, it's coming. But it looks good. There's two big stories. There's Super Mario RPG. It's getting a remake. It looks absolutely wonderful. So it's a full, like, ground-up remake. It's not like a weird remaster or anything like that. The composer, Yoko Shimomura, who is one of the best composers of all time, is back to do arrangements and new tracks and stuff. It's coming out November 17. And then there's Super Mario Bros. Wonder, which is finally a new 2D Mario game with an art style that isn't New Super Mario Bros. So, so good. It's just so full of life and has wonderful animations. Mario can turn into an elephant, presumably other characters too can too, which I am not prepared for how weird the internet's going to be about Daisy turning into an elephant, but we will cross that bridge when we get to it. That's out on October 20. There's a whole bunch more stuff that was in the direct, smaller stuff that, you know, probably isn't much worth talking about. But so what did we think of the direct, and does anybody have any highlights for them specifically?
Just straight talk about the last two games, because I think that's what everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Super Mario RPG, I think it looks amazing. It looks super, super cool. Has the same... Obviously, it's 3D, but they've retained the same, like, art style. Like, it looks very, very similar to, like, the 2D game from SNES. And it has just the same vibe. It has all the same style of movement. Like, all the characters seem to move in exactly the same way. I think they've done an amazing job. And people have been asking for this for God knows how long. I can't even remember how long it's been. And I'm super excited for it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm a little disappointed by with this one is that I think they could have, could have gone a little harder into like the weirder kind of art style type thing. Because like when you look at the original, I've got the original screenshots up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these super ugly looking like little plasticine figurines. And I feel like this would have been absolutely perfect for like a similar art style to Link's Awakening on the Switch when that got a remaster or a remake or whatever. I feel like that would have been absolutely perfect for something like that. Just making them look like little toys with like a bit of a tilt shift kind of thing going on as well. It would have looked so much nicer. But like, you know, it's an RPG that like a lot of people really love, and kind of kickstarted the whole Paper Mario thing. So, you know, I'm not gonna say I'm upset that it exists. So yeah, that's just my take on it.
My take's controversial. I don't care. I didn't like the game originally, and I don't care about this one. Well, yeah, there's so many more things they could have done instead of remaking a game from 30 years ago, but hey.
I think, like remaking some Zelda HD ports, perhaps?
It's never coming, Michael. It's just never
I need it.
So I've tried to play the original Super Mario RPG a few times, and it's really not done a lot for me, apart from the music, which is phenomenal. But, you know, on a modern platform with, like, maybe some quality of life additions, because it's kind of rough to play now, yeah, I think it could do well. I'm pretty keen to see how it is.
I mean, let's be honest, if they had just added the original SNES version to the Switch Online app, people would have been happy as well, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're definitely going to do some quality of life stuff to it, and I think, yeah, that'd be fun.
I do wonder, though, why they dropped the subtitle.
Yeah, it is a bit weird. I guess it's to differentiate it, or maybe, like, Square Enix owns the copyright or the trademark to the original title.
Maybe.
That doesn't sound like Nintendo.
Well, like, part of the reason that it never really got very many re-releases is because, like, Square Enix owned all the original characters in it. So, like,
you
know, everyone's always like, oh, put Geno into Smash. But, like, can't... owned by Square Enix. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's interesting. I think the fact that people have wanted it for so long, I think it's absolutely hilarious that it came after all of the Smash DLC. So, like, Geno's never going to be in Smash. Just the funniest thing to me. Yeah, it is what it is, right? I think fans of the game will absolutely love it, and then maybe some new people will too. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, though.
Oh, baby.
God, I'm so keen. It's just, like, so much stuff that, like, if you just, like, looked at a random screenshot from it, you'd be like, okay, this is just more, you know, new Super Mario Brothers kind of stuff. But, like, seeing it in motion is, like, a completely different thing. Like, it is very obviously not a new Super Mario Brothers game.
Well, it is a new Super Mario Brothers game. It's just not but it's a new series.
You know what he meant, Luke.
I know.
But, yeah, so the animations are really, like, the main thing for it. Like, they've put in so many, like...
so nice. I'm watching the trailer right now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just, like, all these, like, tiny little animations where, like, where Mario goes through a pipe and, like, grabs his hat behind him. Or, like, somebody pointed out that there's, like, two frames of, like, when a character, like, runs into a wall, they have, like, a shocked face that they can't keep going. Like, it's just so much, and it's kind of the thing that, like, Nintendo doesn't really do is, like, put all those, like, tiny little touches, because, like, all of their games are phenomenally polished. But, like, nothing, I don't think, from Nintendo in a really long time has this level of personality. And that's, yeah, the big one.
It has also a lot, like, of spunk.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think the gameplay looks great too.
It does. I think the gameplay is going to be solid. But the visuals for me, every time I look at it, it makes me think it's like a stop motion style, and then it's like been like AI smoothed. Like, there's just something a little disconcerting about it. Like, I dig it, but it's just something that just feels a little off at the same time, which maybe that's a good thing. I mean, I do love in the scene where he's in the ball and he's rolling through the things. Oh, every time he hits something, it's the pin effect from Wii Sports, from the bowling game. It's the 10 pins being hit. So, yeah, I don't know. I think more Mario. Can't really go wrong with more Mario. But, yeah, I'm just not quite convinced on the visual style yet.
I am so sold on it. Like, as soon as I saw it in the direct, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I needed in my life. I think it looks wonderful. That wasn't even an intentional pun. I think it is generally was wonderful.
It just looks like everything has a little more depth to it. Unlike the new Super Mario Brothers games, where everything was just like exactly side on, just like the original, you know, 2D Mario games and stuff. Everything here is just slightly twisted you know what, 25 degrees or something towards the camera or the characters or the environments, everything like that.
Assuming it's still like New Super Mario where like everything is actually 2D, like it's nothing's 3D or nothing really is 3D rendered, I'm assuming it looks very, very sharp. So I'm assuming it's like that.
No, well, generally like Nintendo, specifically Nintendo published or even developed games have like, what is it? They're like, I can't remember what it is. They have some sort of like anti-aliasing thing where like all the edges are like just super crisp and super sharp.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Generally. It just has that little bit of 2D vibe to it. Just looks a little bit too good. Well, that's not a complaint, by the way. Like, whatever they're doing to make it look this good, I'm 100% down.
It looks, because there are some shots where, like, for example, where he turns into the elephant, like, there is, like, a punching shot of Mario, and, like, you can see that there are polygons on him. So it does look like a character model itself. And, like, when he animates and he's standing and he's still, like, breathing and twisting, like, his body is twisting away and towards the camera. So it does look like it is a 3D model.
Yeah. I mean, like, either way, it looks just amazing.
Mm. Like, I mean, ultimately, it's a Mario game, right? It's you're sideways and you're running and jumping and you're collecting things. Yeah. Like, so I think the differentiating factor here is the art style, and it does look like it has a lot more character and charm to it, which is,
I do like that the smiles that he has. He's got that, like, you know, the Amazon logo smile. He's got that sort of smirk going on sometimes. Like, there's a lot of, like, a lot more expression on his face.
Overall, yeah, a lot of, like, the smiles are just, like, they're 2D painted on, like, black line. Yeah. It looks really good.
The thing that strikes me the most in terms of, like, his face and emotion is when he's running and he's kind of got his arms out and he's got that little pout. That's the little thing that I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This boy has some personality.
Yeah.
I think it's worth noting just because, you know, it's an important thing and apparently we have to note this. The trailer is, like, all, like, 60 frames a second. So, like, it is updating on every frame. which, you know, I expected it from a 2D Mario game because I didn't think there's really ever been a 2D Mario game that didn't do that.
Odyssey runs at 60 FPS, this sure as hell, but must.
Yeah. I mean, like, the whole, like, Wonder Flower system, like, looks wild, where, like, the whole level can just, like, get super weird and change when you grab the Wonder Flower.
It's like they've gone full in on the whole magic mushroom thing that people always say Mario's been taking for years.
And his little flower buddy?
Yeah.
The one that talks all the time?
If everyone has the trailer open on the official Nintendo of America YouTube account...
I sure do.
Everyone scrubs to 2 minutes and 2 seconds and watches
2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Watches the succeeding 3 seconds or so. There is a little bit of frame rate chug. Right,
oh, yes, there is. Yeah, with the Yoshis and the missiles. There is, 100%.
So this game cannot pass an 8.10, obviously, on the VOOC scale.
I mean, like, there are a couple of things, like, from a gameplay perspective that, like, obviously are a bit different as well. Like, lives are back. They were in, like, all of the other 2D Mario games, but, like, the 3D Mario games have sort of abandoned lives recently.
All abandoned life at this point.
I mean, purple coins seem to be very abundant, whatever they are.
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly they're supposed to achieve, especially because, like, in some points, that's like, it's granular, so there's, like... You know, 25.1.
Yeah,
totally.
Which is,
I mean, the last time we saw purple coins was Mario Odyssey, and that was all about costumes. So, who knows? Yeah. Maybe we'll get costumes in this one.
It only changes to the point system when you get one of the Wonder Seed thingos. But I don't know if that's like intentional, or if that was just like a weird bug that they had in the trailer. Oh, sorry, Angela, you're gonna say.
No, that's fine. If you scrub to 2 minutes and 28 where there's a punch in on Mario collecting the little elephant fruit, it definitely looks like he's a character model, a 3D character model. But also, like, so the elephant fruit looks like an apple, right?
It does look like an apple, yeah.
Yeah, so as far as we know, only Yoshis eat apples in the Mario universe. So this is interesting that Mario is now eating an apple.
Maybe it's a crossover with Sesame Street and it's a Snuffleupagus fruit.
I agree. He does look 3D in that particular spot, which is nice. Yeah.
But I mean, it could be a mix of like sprites and 3D, depending on like the situation. But yeah, there's a couple other things. So like with just with multiplayer, like you don't like bump into each other anymore. So like if you are next to another player, you can just like walk through them, which is a welcome change.
Which is the right way to go ultimately for a kids game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also like you can play just like as Yoshi, just like by himself. And then if another player is playing a human character, they can, human, you know, Toad's there as well. They can
Yellow Toad. Yellow Toad's there.
Yeah. Yeah, they can hop onto Yoshi, which is an interesting mechanic. I have a feeling that Yoshi is going to be like the assist character, because like he's still going to have like his flutter jump, presumably.
Well, we see that in the trailer, so
yeah. So I have a feeling that like you'll just be able to play as Yoshi whenever, but he'll be the assist character, which is a nice way to do it, I think.
A good mix of like the quote-unquote bad guys, like just being like just normal dudes, just like skating around the world or like having a nap or whatever. Like they don't seem to be that normal, like, you know, patrolling kind of bad guys, which is really interesting.
I just want to know if they'll just, you know, randomly stop in the middle of whatever they're doing every now and again, just turn to the camera and then get back to what they're doing.
I think we're very much past that. But that's the other thing. The music is like, it's not the same shit that we've been hearing for the last like 15 years. I think the other thing that makes this like exciting is that there hasn't been a new original like 2D Mario games for 11 years now. By the time this releases, it will be 11 years.
What are you talking about? Mario Maker came out. Everyone's making original Mario games all the time.
Well, yeah, but like it's not the same, right?
No, it's absolutely not the same.
But like the most recent one that we got, but you know, technically was New Super Mario Bros. U, and that was in 2012. Then we got Super Mario Run.
So. We got New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Yeah, but
I think Mario Bros. U is a good. Oh, sorry, Mario Bros. Run is a good example there. Sorry, I'm just also having a huge notice of when Mario transforms into the elephant Mario, he retains all of his iconic personalizations except for his boots. He somehow still has the big eyebrows, the big mustache, the hat, but he loses his boots.
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird. Anyway, I'm also copying and pasting a bunch of these cursed screenshots into our group chat here for Luke to use however he'd like.
Maybe don't put those in the final product.
I can't see honestly, them at the moment because if I go to them, I go off the video. So
yeah,
that's fine.
I might
copy and paste these into the Vooks Discord, which you listeners can also jump into at any point.
Yeah, that's bit.ly/VooksDiscord, all lowercase. So yeah, I mean, like all of these games, like it was a fantastic direct. I think
I wouldn't say it was a fantastic direct. I think like the first half of it was kind of like, it's like, oh, okay, here we go, buying the numbers. Oh, it's a collection of things. Oh, it's this, it's that. Oh, it's games 3D announced for every other platform. It kind of just like just putted along for the first like half, and then just out of nowhere, we just got WarioWare, right? And that was like, oh shit, a new WarioWare game. We generally don't get that series all that often, but now here we are, two on the Switch. And then it was like, oh, and, you know, here's new amiibo. And he's, you know, they sort of, I don't know, just started hitting the right beats, at, you know, all at once. Just, yeah. So it sort of ended like, strong.
I think I agree with Luke. Like when you actually run down the list, like you have Ollie and you look at it and like that wasn't even everything that was announced in the direct. Like half of it was just re-releases. And like, I get that we get that quite often with directs anyways, but like, yeah, like it was the only games that are of real note are things that are developed / published by Nintendo, or they're re-releases from either, you know, years ago from other systems, or they're somewhat of a remake, like, you know, Mario, Super Mario RPG, etc. So there are only really a couple of standout, like brand new titles, like Mario Wonder, the Princess Peach game, which we have to wait till next year to sort of hear about anyway. Yeah, so I think I kind of agree with Luke. Like Luigi's Mansion 2, don't get me wrong, I'm all for that. It was a fantastic game, but it is kind of time-locked on the 3DS. and like, you know, now it's getting a re-release here as well. So I don't know.
The fact they're not porting Luigi's Mansion 1 that they made for the 3DS as well, it's not like a collection of 1 and 2.
They 100% are, just they're not going to announce it until...
I thought that was on Switch already.
No, only 3 so far.
It came out in 3DS though, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, having Pikmin 1 and 2 on the Switch, obviously we got Pikmin 3 previously and Pikmin 4 coming out this month. Having the, like, entire series available is quite nice.
Oh, console series.
Well, yeah, hey, Pikmin doesn't count.
yeah.
But also, like, Pikmin has, like, officially been renamed to Pikmin 1, which is kind of
That's
weird.
Stupid. That's a stupid thing.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I would like for them to do that with, like, other series as well. Like, obviously, like, the Xenoblade series is all available on the Switch, so that's nice. But, yeah.
Zelda HD, perhaps, you know, just putting that there.
Yeah. I mean, we've already got a couple of Zelda games on the Switch, so.
So, I'm not a Pikmin fan. I don't especially enjoy the series. I just think it's not a great RTS type game, but that's me. But I do wonder, are the Pikmin and Pikmin 2 re-releases, are these based off the GameCube version or the Wii version?
They're based off the Wii version.
Okay.
Specifically based off the PAL Wii version, because Nintendo always does the most recent version.
Because that's the one that had the new play controller. That was a big thing they were doing in the early days of the Wii, was just porting a bunch of GameCube games with motion controls.
Can you play with motion controls on the Switch version?
You can, yep.
Yeah.
But you can also play with, obviously, button controls as well, which the Wii version didn't have at all. You couldn't play button controls on the Wii version. So they've, like, clearly done some work to it. They've added, like, you know, button prompts. They've removed some of the licensed stuff from Pikmin 2, which is funny. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's just straight ports that are playing in HD. And they actually, like, re-rendered the cutscenes rather than AI upscaling them like they did with Super Mario Sunshine. Which is nice, because the Sunshine ones looked pretty terrible.
I do have to give a call out to the Metal Gear Collection. Not for the games. The games are fine. And the weird, including the NES, Metal Gear 1, and Metal Gear Snake's Revenge, which is the two games that Kojima didn't make. They were, like, done by different teams inside Konami. But just the sheer number of, you know, the guidebooks, the art books, the music, like, they're going all out on all the extra stuff, you know, to help explain some of the bullshit lore that series has developed over the years. So I think that's kind of cool that Konami's going all in on that.
And they have, like, 30 gigs of, like, which is an additional download for people who want it. 30 gigs of like, additional video and like, explainers and extra cutscenes and external stuff. Like, they really have, you know, apart from the whole doing terribly with the cartridges, they really have done quite an impressive job with the Master Collection, which, of course, is coming to everything else as well.
No. So that's the weird thing. When it was first announced, it was announced in the PlayStation Showcase, but they didn't say which consoles. And after the direct, we learned it was Switch, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC.
Yeah, but I think that, like, I don't think it's, obviously, it's not because it can't run on, you know, PS4 and Xbox One. I think that's just, like, they don't want to bother getting it certified for extra consoles.
Probably.
So,
I do laugh at some people that are really, you know, they're like, oh, but this is only Volume 1. Volume 2 is going to have so much more. It's like, guys, you know every game that's in the series. You should know what to expect in the second volume of this. It's not a state secret at this point.
It'd be nice to get Metal Gear Solid 4 not locked to PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
It'll just be Revengeance and that Metal Gear 5 Survive or whatever is that zombie shooter. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only game.
I think the one that people will forget about, that probably forget that they exist, is Peace Walker.
Yeah, it'll absolutely have those PSP ones.
Yeah,
Peace Walker and what is it? Something Ops, Portable Ops.
Yeah,
will it have the GameCube version of Snake of Metal Gear and Solid
Snakes?
Nah.
Or will it have the 3DS release of Snake Eater?
I wonder if anyone has that game, like if that just exists anywhere, or if that's just gone.
I mean, like, from what we know, like, Nintendo keeps a pretty exhaustive library of everything that's released on its consoles. Because we know from, like, a bunch of, like, these other things, like, with the Castlevania Advance Collection, like, Konami actually reached out to Nintendo to get, like, the original files that they submitted for certification.
Well, we've also seen some of these files from all those leaks that happened when the vaults got raided by hackers as well, so...
But yeah, they keep pretty much everything that gets released. Nintendo has a version of it somewhere. So that's
nice. Can we see that special edition of Hoarders, just the Nintendo edition?
Yeah. I mean, like, everybody knows what's going to be in Volume 2 anyway. They accidentally leaked it on the website, which is very funny. Which is, it's basically just, like, Peace Walker and then, like, the Metal Gear Solid 5 games.
Yeah.
And Metal Gear Solid 4, of course, was in there. So, that's nice. But it's a shame that Twin Snakes is, like, not included, because it's just so much better than playing the original Metal Gear Solid. Like, it just sucks. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, for me, like, this direct, like, it hit all of the right notes. I wish Detective Pikachu Returns didn't look like crap. Like, it looks worse than the first game, and I'm not sure how or why that happened.
You have to wonder how long that game's been finished for, because they announced that back in 2019.
I think they were, basically, they were doing, like, it. Development was probably paused during lockdowns and stuff. Because it's developed by Creatures, who also does, like, support stuff on Pokemon games, and given there were three Pokemon games that that came out in, like, 12 months, they probably just, like, put that on pause and smashed out the Pokemon games.
See, I'm looking at the trailer right now for Detective Pikachu 2, and it looks fine to me. I don't know what the problem is.
It looks
way better than any other Pokemon game that's come out on the Switch.
No, it doesn't. It looks so much worse.
Dude, it runs so much better. Take another look, Ollie.
Have you seen New Pokemon
Clean
Snap?
Your glasses.
That's what I'm saying, right? It's like New Pokemon Snap looks way better. And like,
sure, but that's
the
also
original...
an on-rails game, though.
Yeah, this is like a tightly directed, like, fixed camera, like, detective game. Like,
yeah, but the environments are a bit bigger and the characters are doing a lot more. I'm absolutely fine with
it. Just, like,
this looks great to me.
It looks worse than the first game is the thing, and the first game is on 3DS. Like, it looks very flat. There's, like, basically no shadows.
I think that's the art style, though, is my point. I think that's the whole...
Right, and I think the art style looks like us.
Okay, but, like, but the way you were talking about it before, you made it sound as if, like, you know, there are technical problems, you know, animations are off, all those kinds of things. Like, it looks fine to me. I'm absolutely happy with this. Like I said, it looks better than any other Pokemon game.
Technically, it looks fine. I just think... considering the time span between its announcement and now, it should look visually more impressive, especially because it was, you know, it's based on a 3DS entry. And that's my issue, is I think this is just the game from the 3DS just brought over to Switch and then finished.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. I'd assume that it was already developed for 3DS and then it was just ported over.
Yeah. Wasn't the first game as well supposed to come to Switch at some point?
It's a little unclear because, like, when they sent out the press release for it, they're like, oh, yeah, Detective Pikachu is coming to the Switch. And then, like, they didn't really say anything about that, and then this is the first we've heard since then. So it's like, is this the Detective Pikachu that's coming to Switch? Or are they actually bringing Detective Pikachu to Switch? It's hard to say. But no, I think, I don't know. My main issue is that it's a downgrade from the art style in the first game, which was quite a stylish and beautiful game.
I disagree so hard, man. It looks completely fine to me.
Yeah,
I don't know. It looks like just a kid's cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, fair. If it floats your boat, then fine. I don't know. It's I don't know, a personal preference thing, I guess.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm certainly not the only one who thinks it looked bad. Like, it was basically my entire Twitter feed when it was announced. So, like, everybody was like, well, this doesn't look great, does it?
Well, we all know that Twitter is an echo chamber, Ollie.
Yeah, but still.
can we talk about Penny's Big Breakaway for a second? Because that was the one that I thought was the... When that was announced, so many people I know were like, man, this looks so bad. It's so empty, rah, rah, rah. And then the news popped up. It's like, and developed by the folks that made Sonic Mania. And everyone was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing now. It's like,
I was actually on board with it, like, the second I saw it. It looks quite nice.
See, this is a game that I feel like does not look good.
I think it's just, it's very old school in its approach across the board. It's like, they've gone for like a very late 90s, early 2000s 3D platformer, which, you know, they're nailing it, but...
It looks like, I can't remember the name of it. There was a Nintendo 64 game, Luke can probably help me out here. Something similar where like you're like a character that's on...
Glover?
Basically like a unicycle, like you're on a one wheel type of thing. And you're rolling around.
I know the game you're talking about, but I can't think of
it. Yeah. I was getting those vibes when I was looking at this. Like you said, it looks like a mascot platformer from the 90s or 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, I quite like it. I think it looks nice. There's like some obvious pop-in in some places. You can see, like, if you're looking at the trailer, like at the 35-ish onwards for the next few seconds, you can kind of see characters just like popping in halfway through. But like, I don't know, I think it's a very simple and effective art style, and the gameplay looks really solid.
But I just love how all the enemies that are after you are penguins.
That is cool as well. Everybody loves a penguin.
Oh, of course, I'm just remembering that there was one game that we have absolutely snubbed that Luke brought to my attention, at least.
I was hoping you'd bring it up.
My goodness, can you please do this thing on us?
Nobody apart from me and Angelo has any idea what we're talking about right now.
I've never
posted it in the book chat and then the group chat.
I have the memory of a turnip, so yeah. You could have talked about like game changing like universe physics that has been announced, and I would have forgotten.
So back in 2020, developer Goodfeel revealed they were working on a new game, which was basically. It was described as like a spiritual successor to Mystical Ninja, which Angela and I both adore that series. And then it was supposed to be revealed in full later in the year and then released in 2021, and it just vanished. And then in the Nintendo Direct in Japan, it actually popped up. And I will put the trailer on so people can watch it. But its big thing is that it is... created by a bunch of the team from the Mystical Ninja development. So it's like the same folks that made that series are now making this game. It's not yet announced for the West. It's still only a Japan-only game, and it is coming out this year. But I think it looks amazing. It's so
insane Mystical Ninja. That it's not coming out of Japan, as far as I know.
I think it probably will eventually.
I hope it will. It looks incredible. Like, genuinely, like, the art style looks amazing. Gameplay looks great. Is it called Mameta Bakaru? Is that what it is?
It's weird. Like, the full name is Ogata. Oh god, Ogakatsugeki.
Yeah,
that thing. I'll put the name up on text on the screen so people can see it.
Ogakatsugeki Dotanuki no Bakaru.
Now it goes 10 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so I just think it's, you know, Goodfeel are the folks that did like Yoshi's Woolly World and Yoshi's Crafted World, many, many years ago. And this is their first game. So they did a game between Yoshi and this one, and it's called 12 Monkeys, and it's on PC. It's on Epic. It's a arcade shooter thing. It's a little weird. But yeah, this is basically Mystical Ninja 3. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, like the music is even... It even evokes just the similar sort of vibes that that Mystical Ninja dude. And like, you know, there's a scene where you're again like in a giant robot mech and you're just standing in a cityscape and you're fighting some other giant robot mech. Like, it looks so silly. It looks absolutely up my alley. I'm so excited for it.
I mean, the ship to fly around in is a giant tea kettle.
Yeah, so. It's a teapot. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Angelo this happy in so long.
Yeah, I know. Right? I'm such a Debbie Downer on this show, and this thing genuinely has me so happy.
But we haven't had Michael pop up with his like game that impressed him from the direct.
What? You have to remind me what game impressed me because I don't remember.
I don't know. Was there any game that you were like, "This looks amazing," or "I have to play this"?
Bar like Mario, like Mario RPG and Mario Wonder. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, I am very excited for Mario Wonder. One thing I am very disappointed about is that Mario Wonder... Oh, sorry, Super Mario... Oh, no, Mario, is it Super Mario Brothers Wonder? Yeah, Super Mario Brothers
Super
Wonder.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Whatever it's called. Comes out the same day as Spider-Man 2. one of those games is going to get left on the side, and I don't know which one it is.
Just think, one of them can be your palate cleanser for when you need a break from the other one.
I think it's probably going to be Mario, just because, like, I don't think I'm going to get spoiled with Mario, like, on the internet, but I have a strong suspicion some a-hole is just going to drop a Spider-Man 2 spoiler, like, the minute I'm at work or something.
Probably.
Before we get carried away with, like, picking between those two games, there may be a third contender, because according to leaks, Sonic Superstars is also coming out on the same day.
So I'm waiting for the third contender?
Is that a contender?
No, absolutely not. But, like, man, the Sonic team must be quite annoyed when they saw Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and they're like, oh, well, we're screwed.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, because people were like, Mario and Sonic are at it again. It's like, guys, enough.
Taking us back to 1991. I remember what the game is. I just looked it up, Luke. It was Rocket Robot on Wheels on the N64 that I was thinking about, which is developed by Sucker Punch. I did not realize that Sucker Punch had a Nintendo game.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They had two games, I think, back on the 64 days.
Yeah, right. Because, like, it's another super, like, vibrant, wacky, platforming game. The animation on this robot character looks really awesome, by the way. But, yeah, also rides around on, like, this weird, like, unicycle type thing, kind of like... I guess the name is Penny from Penny's Big Breakaway.
Penny's someone
a yo-yo.
She's running like a yo-yo, yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime someone says unicycle, I just get PTSD at that time that I was like, I think this game's Unirally, guys. And everyone was like, shut up, Michael. That's so stupid.
That's when my reign of chaos began. does Ollie want to talk about Headbangers?
I do want to talk about Headbangers. So Luke made me remove this from the list. It's like, you know, a Fall Guys-ish kind of like battle royale, but instead of like doing, you know, silly mini games where you like jump over wipeout obstacles, you're playing rhythm games and you're a pigeon, and you can dress up your pigeon in like silly hats, and it just looks so delightful.
It's rhythm heaven, but battle royale is essentially what it is.
Yeah, with pigeons.
With pigeons. I don't know. I love rhythm games. I played a fair bit of Fall Guys, but haven't really gotten too into it. This just looks extremely up my alley. Do we have a pricing information for it?
I recall seeing a price for the US, but I don't think we got a local price yet.
Let's see, because it's also coming to other...
While you're looking that up, it's so disappointing to me that the pop culture focal point for any sort of like large-scale obstacle course game is always Wipeout and never Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah, I mean, because Takeshi's Castle was in one country.
I think you mean MXC, Most Extreme Challenge?
I absolutely do not mean that. Only true 90s kids remember Takeshi's Castle.
I will bring out that they're dropping new episodes this year in Japan for that series.
Yeah, man. So. I cannot wait to watch people get absolutely effed up in HD. It's going to be so good.
I will say, though, when I was first told about Fall Guys, about 7 months before it was actually formally announced, I got told, think of 100 people running through an obstacle course from Takeshi's Castle. That's how it was described to me initially.
Well, I mean, Takeshi's Castle was originally 100 people, and Fall Guys is only like 40 or something like that.
No, in the initial debut trailer, it's 100, but when they actually got around to releasing the game, they dropped
it to 60. It was meant to be 100, and then they're like, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, right. Have you guys played Fall Guys recently, by the way? That game actually holds up. It's always played fine, but like, it's actually a lot more fun now, I find.
Yeah, they've added a lot to it.
They also added like a map creator, so you can like create like a creative mode, so you can create your own ones. Unfortunately, I think there's like, it's quite limited at the moment. There's only like one type of game that you can create, so you can't do like a survival style game. It's only like the obstacle course, like race to the end.
The downside now, though, is that because it's a free to play game, it's just riddled with microtransactions. To be able to get anything worth anything, you have to pay for the season
for a game like that. It has to be free to play. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Whereas, Battle Royale now is like, just free to play or get out.
They also like halved the length of the seasons now as well. So like the seasons used to be I think 8 weeks, and now they're 4 weeks. I mean, they did make the battle pass thing cheaper to compensate, but like, it's still like you're doing it twice as much, and like, it's twice as much FOMO, which is kind of what they rely on to do that.
Also, thankfully, it's only like 6 or 7 gigs on like PS5, which means I'd imagine it's way smaller on the Switch even.
Yeah, it's only like 3.8 or something. It's pretty small.
So unlike something like Fortnite, which takes up like dozens of gigs of space, even on Switch, like, it's such an easy game to just jump into and have fun with.
Something that we haven't mentioned yet, but it was just announced the other day, is that Disney Speedstorm, the racing game that's in early access where they've been having seasons, which, you know, that's a whole thing I don't want to get into, but that's officially coming out of early access on September 28th, and that'll be then free to play. It was always going to be free to play, but they did the whole, if you want to play it now, you've got to buy a Founders Pass. So just because we're talking about free to play, I thought I'd throw that in there.
God, I honestly hate that strategy so much. Like, the whole, like, pay to play it in, like, early access. Because, like, it's clearly just, like, we just want to, like, you know, have the best of both worlds. We want to have a paid game to begin with and then a free-to-play game later.
I have no issue with paying to get into early access. But then, like, having seasons, it's like, guys, no, stop trying to promote, like, people buying things in your game that's not finished.
I have issues with, like, paying for early access. This is, like, a whole thing now. I have issues for, like, paying for, like, early access like that, because, like, it lets the developers be like, well, it's, you know, it's early access, it's a beta. You know, you can't expect everything to work as well as it should. So, like, you're essentially paying money to be somebody else's beta tester, which is, like, the exact opposite of how it should really work.
I think early access is one of the biggest mistakes in gaming, period.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's helpful to, like, indies who, like, need people to, you know.
Yeah, if you're a company that is only 10 people strong, you know, having 4,000 people join to help you test is going to be great.
Yeah, but, like, everything that the gaming industry touches, like, you know, it started off with, you know, maybe some indies doing it for their small game, and then, like, full companies just decided to treat it as their default, even for, like, full releases. So,
yeah, it's like the road to hell is paved with best intentions, right? Like, initially, I could see is like a financial support mechanism, like early access, like, kind of makes sense. Like, you pay early, you get in there early, you help, you might get some extra, like, you know, content or something like that down the line, like an extra skin or something like that, or something
more summer
stick to you, something like that. But at the same time, like, you're also supporting the developers earlier on who might need some extended development time to polish up the game or something like that. At the same time, you can have your hand in helping out by QA testing it and getting a name in the credits and stuff. But yeah, like, when you get it from like a big, you know, from something like Bungie or something like that, you know, a bigger studio, which might technically be independent, then again, like, that's another gray area, right, where it does become a bit of a problem. But I can see how it was supposed to really work. But like you say, like, as soon as the bigger bean pushers get their hands, bean counters get their hands on it, like, yeah, it just exacerbates.
I love
it. Like, it doesn't absolve, like, even like some of the quote unquote bad indies, like, they just keep their game in early access in like perpetuity. And it's just like, well, it's an early access, exactly like Luke said, it's an early access. You can't blame us for anything, even though your game's been in early access for like 74 years. Looking at you, Star Citizen.
It's been like 12 years now. My God.
It's ridiculous.
the fact that we're getting Starfield announced and released before Star Citizen. I will say, though, I the best early access thing that I've ever seen in terms of, like, absolutely lying to people is Multiverses from Warner Brothers. You know, the Batman versus Superman versus...
I forgot that even existed.
Bugs Bunny. So the game launched... the game launched in early access, in beta, right? It was an open beta, and they started having seasons, and then I saw IGN reviewed it, and it's like, guys, this game's not released yet. Why are you reviewing a beta? And then I actually put that in the comments. I don't generally go on IGN comments because, you know, that's asking for trouble.
Yeah, no,
but I literally had to put this up there, and I was like, what the hell? And then people were like, oh, it means it's out. That's why they review. It's like, guys, it's not out. It's still in. And then, like, 4 months later, they're like, hey, guys, we're taking the game offline next year so we can, like, actually finish it. It's like, okay, so you've been charging people for money, charging people money for content in a game that is now no longer playable.
Well, so I'm not necessarily defending IGN, but I see the logic behind that as well. I think the reason why some sites like that did review something like... multiverses is because once your product is forward-facing enough to the point where you're charging money from it, sorry, for it, at that point, like, it's fair game to review it because people are going to be looking to find out whether or not it's worth spending the money on. Therefore, someone reviews the product that's out.
Yeah, but
so
like,
I can understand that part of it.
You can do like a hands-on preview without like giving it a score and like having it show up.
Sure, but like if it's already out and people are paying for content on it, and yeah, that's the foreseeable future for like the next year or two, then like it's like, well, how many hands-on impressions are we going to do for 2 years for a game that's, you know, out essentially? You know,
but then they turn around and they'll do, you know, review in progress for games because, you know, they haven't had enough time with a specific, you know, multiplayer mode or something. So they sort of do weird things across the board there. But it is IGN.
This
so.
Isn't an anti-IGN thing. yeah, no, I don't know.
Big for me, Ollie.
What's that? I don't know. I was about to say something about Star Citizen for a moment there, and I was like, that could actually be libel. So I'm not going to say that. But I will share it with people after we're finished recording, because I have thoughts on that game. We've gone wildly off topic, as we normally do.
Every single podcast over the past, I don't know how many months, this exact thing happens. Someone brings something up and we go on a wild tangent, and then it's like technically the feature discussion now, I guess.
I think it's fine. I love how totally. We go from these tangents.
I love natural progression podcasts. It's fun.
Dude, I constantly forget that Star Citizen is a thing.
Yeah,
I think so do the developers.
Don't get me wrong. I love the idea of Star Citizen, right? Like, it is exactly the game that I want to play. The scope of it is absolutely insane, all the systems and everything. And I hope one day that it is a game that actually exists and you can play it properly. But the amount of money that they've taken and just seeing where the game is, and like, I can't see it ever coming out, like, genuinely. And that's just ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah, because they did like the absurd like Kickstarter where they got like hundreds of millions of dollars, and now they're like still like trying to find more funding. Like, they've gotten more funding from more places. It's like,
people
how?
Keep buying ships still.
Yeah,
and they cost literally hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars, I think, at this point, to buy these ships. And people are like, yeah, okay,
dude, video games are so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about buying ships and games, EVE Online is now 20 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to feel like, if people are listening don't know what EVE Online is, don't look it up, because it is a rabbit hole you do not want to descend down into. But
if you want to think of EVE Online, just think of it as Excel with spaceships.
Dude, the other day, I only just rediscovered that RuneScape exists, and now it's in like proper 3D. That was a blast. Yeah. That was something that made me feel like I was 84 years old.
Totally. I think I still think Ultima Online is also still like a thing in both 2D and 3D.
So that popped up in my feed because EA and BioWare are palming off the Old Republic MMO to another
developer.
Yeah,
I remember. Also, that's another one that's like, oh, why does that still exist?
Yeah. I mean, that's 14 years now. But that game,
it's like
the people doing that are doing, they're keeping like Ultima Online and all that stuff still going. So it's that same company.
Do you remember the original? I imported the like collector's edition of Old Republic from like the US with a huge box with like statues and stuff.
And the game I got so the bad. Keyboard, so the headset.
Dude, you're talking about bad MMOs. I pre-ordered DC Universe Online. And I was so jazzed when that game was coming out. And I put it on my crappy laptop and it was so bad. But I told myself I loved it. Man,
that was a pre-ordered. Trip. Man, there's so many MMOs that I like really wanted to enjoy. Yeah. Like Tabula Rasa from Richard Garriott when that was coming out. That was meant to be like the next Insanity.
That's another tangent. You'll know about that submarine, right? That like exploded above the Titanic. Dude, I had no idea.
Wait,
that
Garriott... What are you talking about? What?
Yeah. Wait,
sorry, that's it's a genuine joke. Okay, anyone doesn't know about a submarine, like, you've literally been living in a cave. Like, I don't understand how anyone can not know about it.
It was today that I learned that Richard Garriott, Lord British himself, is the president of the Discoverers Club or whatever it is, the Adventurers Club or whatever that stupid thing. Yeah, I had no idea. He's the president of the association that those guys were a part of that went out and killed themselves.
The dude's bonkers. He was on the Russian space station before it, you know, fell down to Earth and blew up.
Well, his whole thing was that he wanted to go to space, right? Because his parents were astronauts. And I remember even like back in like when G4 Tech TV was a thing and he was on like the screensavers and he was like, I'm going to go to space one day. And then I think he
did. And he did it.
He did like a... He did
because he has a disgusting amount of money.
Yeah.
Anyways, literally, not even about video games anymore.
Richard Garriott.
The other MMO that I really wanted to succeed was that MMO called The Secret World. Is that one that was a mix between an MMO and an ARG? Like you had to like actually do like, you know, real world research and whatever to figure out puzzles in the game or whatnot. And it had a great Eldritch type of like, it's like scene to the game. But again, yeah, I don't know. MMOs, why do they keep making them? Who knows?
Now that I think about it, it's like, I guess not. It's like Pokemon Go count as like an ARG?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I do want to call out, DC Universe is on Switch, but it is not cross-platform with all the other versions. So you only get to play with Switch players.
So there's like three people on it.
Here's the good thing about it, right? It's like, because there is zero benefit to having other players in the world when you're playing that game. So you can just like play it like a single player game and it's actually not that bad. It's still a shit game. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you just like pick a speedster in that game, like you're just absurdly overpowered because you can just like run up the sides of buildings.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's what
right
I was
from the get-go. And then you see like these other things. It's like, oh, if you play as like a Kryptonian, like you have to unlock flight ability at level 15. Meanwhile, like, speedsters just running up the side of buildings at level 1. Great.
Dude, speedsters, when you run up the side of a building and then you just jump, you literally, like, leap over, like, 7 buildings. It was so good.
You mean tall buildings in a single bound? Sure. I will say there's also a second MMO on Switch that, if people haven't played it, it's worth checking out. It's called Skyforge, and it's developed by Obsidian. There's an MMO by Obsidian, the RPG guys. So, it's technically done by a group called My.com, but Obsidian were brought on board to actually fix up all the RPG stuff because it was so broken.
Really selling that, Luke. Well done.
it's not bad.
What are the bullshit we were talking about on his list?
Why don't we just move on to the games that we're playing?
Why? Someone can just bring something up and then we wildly tangent off it for the next 20 minutes.
Angelo, tell me about the games that you're playing.
All right. So, last fortnight, or last episode, I was talking about Jedi Survivor and how my partner and I encountered a game-breaking bug and we couldn't play that anymore. Well, lucky for us, about 3 or 4 days later, a new patch came out and fixed it. So we got back into the game, and then we only had like 2 more hard crashes after that, which was, you know, a step up.
Yeah,
but only. Then we finally, we got to yesterday, and we were just still hanging out on Kobo, just doing like some side missions, and we just got really sick of it. We're like, dude, this is not the kind of Star Wars game we're into, where like you have this like kind of interesting story and then you're just forced to stop and have to go help everyone out with some crap. Like it's just not at all interesting or exciting or anything like that. So we just kind of just steamrolled through the story, and the story, like, I was not expecting like a twist to happen in that game. But it did, and I was like, okay, now this is finally something interesting that's happening. And then, yeah, the ending just kind of like snowballs from there in a good way. Like I feel like it ended quite satisfactorily. Except for I'm not going to go into spoilers, except for one moment where you get a new character who kind of joins your crew, and the circumstances around that particular character, and how you get that character because of the way you treated another character, like what you did. Like, it's so weird to me. Like, I want to get into a little bit further, but yeah, no, I won't. It's kind of stupid.
The VootCast spoiler cast coming
soon. Laughing at us like, Angelo, the ending was satisfactory. It's just such a beautiful quote.
Like, apart from this one character, like everything else kind of wrapped up kind of well. I kind of liked it. But yeah, like, I don't know. I kind of wish that EA didn't have the Star Wars license and was making their own Star Wars games. Like, I feel like there weren't any, apart from the first Jedi game, there weren't really any particularly great Star Wars game to come out of Star Wars games, come out of EA.
Squadrons was pretty good.
It was okay. That's the one that I I try to get into, and then I kind of just fall off of it pretty hard. I don't know why. Yeah. It just doesn't. Whenever I play a Star Wars dogfighting game, I just want to play Rogue Squadron, and that game is just not Rogue Squadron. So, yeah,
I had the same feeling.
But other
on the upside, sorry, just before we move on, there are other companies that are allowed to make Star Wars games now.
Yeah. So I'm really keen for Ubisoft's one. That looks amazing. The Smuggler one.
This is a wonderful tangent, guys. Let's go.
The monkey hand of that is that, like, Quantic Dream is making a Star Wars game, and, like, good lord, Eclipse? I do not want to ever hear about that ever again.
Yeah, no, I'm not into that. We'll see how it shapes up, but yeah, nothing exciting about that game.
Bring it back to Switch, Star Wars Hunters still hasn't arrived, and that debuted in a February 2021 Direct.
Don't even remember that game.
Yeah, it's probably best that you don't.
2 years ago. Actually, I did a thing. There's 5 Star Wars games that have been announced that are still in development. There's the FPS by Respawn, by the same guy and same team that did the Medal of Honor Above and Beyond for VR. There's the strategy game from Bitreactor, who are a bunch of former Fire Axis game devs, so XCOM and all that. The Knights of the Old Republic remake, which is never coming out. Then the Star Wars game from Amy Hennig and her team at Skydance New Media. And then Eclipse and Outlaws.
Hmm.
So, anyway, tell us about the other thing, Angelo.
Yeah, the second one on my list is the Super Mario Brothers movie, which my partner and I finally saw. Now, this is not the Super Mario Brothers movie that you're thinking of. This is the one from 1993, ladies and gentlemen. This
is the far superior version.
It is fantastically atrocious. I'd forgotten how bad
this bonkers. Is.
I love how bad this film is. Like, looking back on it now, I love that there are video game movies that existed back then that were made by people who did not understand video games at all. I love, love, love that they exist. This film is an absolute train wreck. Nothing about it makes sense. Yoshi gets stabbed. The king is fungus. Like, everyone else is, like, evolved dinosaurs, but the king of this kingdom is from fungus for some friggin' reason. I have no idea.
Because he's a toad.
Mushroom.
Well, he's not Toad, though. Toad is the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So Toad is the first person that you meet who becomes a Goomba, and he's got a swirl shaved into his head. I'm not even going to get started on Goombas. They've been picked on for too long. But one of the most offensive things that I love about this film, though, is that, like, whenever there's, like, some sort of action scene and hijinks that involves Mario and Luigi, is, like, in the background. Oh, also, Alan Silvestri did the music to this film. The composer of, like, you know, the Back to the Future theme and everything, is that, like, whenever things are going down with Mario and Luigi and they're running away or whatever, a really stupid rendition of Napoli plays, which is, like, the most, like, racially stereotypical, like, piece of Italian music you could ever think about. It's so good. Also, why are there police cars that are currently emitting sparks and things, and, like, trucks? Like, everything is just on fire. And, like, no one just... In this universe, no one just, like, stops gracefully. Like, when they're walking down the street, no one just, like, stops moving their legs. Everyone is constantly crashing into each other.
They filmed the movie on the Demolition Man set, clearly.
Oh, it's so good, man. I love how terrible this film is. It's beautiful.
So when you said things that we're playing, my mind, during the week, for some reason, I thought, remember how we used to have, you know, DVD menus that you used to have to, you know, enter in codes to try and access, like, Easter eggs and stuff? That's what my mind went to when you said you were playing Super Mario Brothers movie.
No. My old dad, come out of DVD, used to put in the date of Judgment Day to unlock the director's cut, which is really cool.
Ah, that's cool. Anyway, Luke, I highly recommend it. It's so bad.
Yeah. Luke, tell us about the games you've been playing.
More Tears of the Kingdom, just trying to finish that off. Just, you know, unlock all the shrines and all that sort of stuff. Did the Lara Croft collection on Switch. I had some hard crashes on that one, which was not great. That seems to be a bit of a rare thing, not a common thing according to the developers. And just a smattering of random things here and there, just filling in time on things. Nothing overly exciting, unfortunately.
So I'll go next. I've been playing more Diablo 4. I said in the last episode, I've been playing through with my sister, still doing that. We cleared all of Act 1 into Act 2 now, which is fine. I really feel like the first half of that game is just like boring ass fetch quests. And then the second half is really good. But anyway, yeah. I also played Master Detective Archives Rain Code, which is a new game from the Danganronpa people. It's a pretty good game. There's a review up on Vox. Yeah, it's kind of like Ace Attorney, but they just like added extra weird, wacky context to all of the things that you do in Ace Attorney.
So it's Ace Attorney meets Danganronpa then, just...
Yeah, pretty much. So there's like two phases, basically. The first phase is the like investigative phase. We have to like go around and collect all the clues or evidence. And then there's a second phase where you go into the labyrinth and it's like you have to piece it all together. And there's like combat sequences that aren't really combat sequences. They're just like glorified, like court sequences from Ace Attorney. It's a fun game. It's just, it's really weird in that like, there was like zero editing done, so all of the cases are just like, oh, and then this happened, and then this happened, and it just like keeps on going on and like adding twists and turns. It's like, all right, just like I was happy like five twists ago with like how this case was turning out, and now it just keeps going. But it's still quite a fun game, and I've also been playing the Lara Croft collection, which I've been playing through with my sister as well. And that's pretty good. I didn't have any hard crashes like Luke did. I was kind of surprised, because there's two games in there. They're sort of like top-down, isometric, twin-stick puzzle shooter games. Very, very weird. But the first one, which I can't remember.
Guardian of Light,
and then Temple of Osiris. I remember enjoying Temple of Osiris a lot more, but it's not holding up super well. I think Guardian of Light holds up way, way better.
It's been that long since I played those games that I forgot that Teotech, the guy who, you know, player two is in Guardian of Light, is voiced by Jim Cummings.
Yeah.
He's voiced by freaking Darkwing Duck or Winnie the Pooh or Hondo Anaka, depending on which character you like. I honestly had forgotten that it was him.
It's also like just some like weird random sexism that they throw in for him.
Just a little bit.
It's like a couple lines where it's like, oh yeah, women can't do that. And Lara's like, watch me. And it's like, okay, well, this is obviously a game from 2010, huh? But yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed it, but I was a little disappointed at how poorly Temple of Osiris holds up. And the camera is so bad. It makes me horribly, horribly nauseous in Temple of Osiris. Because it just like moves around.
So the games initially, the first game when it came out, people were like, oh, this is fine, but, you know, it's not really that great. So they kind of just, like, upped the ante across the board for Temple of Osiris, which was great. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's just too much for the Switch. I don't think the Switch can handle that one as well as it does Guardian of Light. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what I've been playing. I've been playing a couple other things as well. My boss asked me to play Apex Legends, so I'm getting into that.
Okay. Which is
interesting, yeah. I played like a teensy little bit of it when it first came out, but it's drastically different now than it was back then.
I can imagine it's very different now.
I just jumped in there. I was like, I have no idea what's going on anymore. None of this is familiar.
Oh, that's what it was like when it first came out as well, so at least that's the same.
Yeah.
I miss Titanfall multiplayer so much.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, Michael, what have you been playing or not playing or getting angry
playing
about?
Shit. I've had zero time in the past 2 weeks, like, genuinely. I've had so much stuff on, like, every single day. A lot of work stuff, and I just finished my Auld Lang course. Yeah, so literally nothing.
Enough.
So you're proficient in Australian local area networks now?
Yes.
Wow.
Definitely that.
Anyway, yeah. Honestly, good on you for learning Auslan.
Sorry, that's probably the best dumb joke that Luke's ever made.
And let's face it, I make a lot of them.
Good God.
That's fun. I highly recommend anyone who's interested to give it a whirl. It's really, really good. I've done the basic and the intermediate course now, and I'll probably wait like a couple months to let my brain like develop, because it's a lot to move on to advanced. I think advanced is going to be quite complicated, because I think it goes into a lot of the grammar and the syntax and all that type of stuff.
How do you say get bent Nintendo in sign language?
Well, Nintendo would definitely be fingerspelled, so I don't think there is a sign for Nintendo.
Could you just do the whole let's go Mario pose? Wouldn't that just work?
Get bent, could. Let's go.
All right, well, let's move on to Nintendo 20 questions. So I picked the game on this one. I think somebody suggested... I've literally had this like on a notepad on my computer for like a year. I don't know if somebody suggested it or if it just like popped into my head. But, you know, probably thanks, Darren. I don't know. It seems most likely that Darren suggested it.
A very angry Darren's going to appear on the Books Discord bookcast channel.
Can I like drop a non sequitur and then disappear? But yeah,
he's basically the Vox Discord version of Skeletor. Skeletor meme stuff.
Until we meet again.
All right, so ask away. Hit me with your question.
Start off like every time. Was this game released on or after January 1st, 2010?
On or after January 1st, 2010? No.
I wonder if there was a game released on January 1st, 2010.
Was make me say January 2nd until whatever the first game was released?
Was this game released in the 2000s?
Yes, it was released in the 2000s.
Don't change the question structure. What's wrong with you?
I'm a rebel.
All right, so between 2000 to 2001 and 2009.
Yep.
So GameCube, Game Boy, Wii, 64, DS.
Yeah.
Angelo, would you like to ask the home console handheld question?
Yeah. So was this game released on a handheld console?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got this. I don't know how this game works.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
What was the question? Was that handheld?
Yep. Yeah, so it's not on a handheld.
So home console.
According to my researchers, the earliest game released in 2010 was on January 5, and it was Divinity 2, Ego Draconis, Bayonetta, Darksiders, and Fable 2 Game of the Year Edition.
Cool. See in the future, it shall be January 5th.
All right, was this game released was this game released for GameCube?
That is a difficult question. I'm gonna say yes.
What? How is that?
Released on the GameCube. It's yes or no.
didn't
have an eShop or anything.
It's complicated in a way that I can't explain without giving it away. Okay. Yes, it was a game that was on the GameCube.
Okay.
Is it like an Animal Crossing scenario? Like it's like a game inside of a game?
Is that
going to count as a question?
That's not a question.
Okay, I'm going to give some context, right? So basically, right... It has to do with like weird release dates for like Europe versus other regions.
Okay,
that's all I'll say. So like, kind of yes, but also no. But it was on the GameCube. I think most people would not have played it on the GameCube, but it was on the GameCube.
Okay.
Oh man.
So I guess we could assume that this is a multi-platform game then.
I mean, I'm just going to go with Twilight Princess because that released on the GameCube, but it was a launch title for the Wii.
I guess, but like that's even I would suggest that would be an easy yes. Like
that wouldn't be a questionable yes for me. That would be like definitely on GameCube.
It was announced for GameCube.
I mean, was this game published by Nintendo?
It was not published by Nintendo.
Okay.
Oh my god.
So it sounds like it's a multi-platform game to me.
Yeah.
Did you want to ask that question?
Oh, yeah, I could. Is this game multi-platform?
It is multi-platform.
Is it a licensed game?
It is a licensed game.
Ooh, ooh, we haven't had one of those in a while.
There we go.
Okay.
So a licensed GameCube game.
I mean, we could ask if it was made by THQ, and if it's a yes, then we're screwed, and if it's a no, then we've just dropped like 98% of all the games.
Yeah, I mean, you could ask that if you want.
Was this game published by THQ?
It was published by THQ.
Oh my god.
We're screwed.
Oh my god.
I mean, the quickest ways to get around out of this would be to ask if it's like a movie tie-in, because they did a lot for like Incredibles and Finding Nemo, you know, all that sort of stuff. What's that? That's a shark, the Shark Tale, Fish Tale, the one with Will Smith.
Shark Tale, yeah.
Shark Tale. They did stuff like that. But then they did like Nickelodeon stuff, like SpongeBob and all that sort of stuff. So they could be one of those TV ones. All right. Is this game part of a series?
Yeah, it's part of a series.
Okay, that's even more niche. Well, not niche, but that focuses it down even further, right? It's a licensed game that's part of a series. What would that include? It'd be something like a SpongeBob game or something like that. Like,
I was just thinking that. I was literally going to ask, is it based off a cartoon? Because yeah, I feel like there's about 40,000 THQ games that are based off a cartoon.
It wouldn't be off a movie series.
Sure. I'm going to ask, is this game based off a cartoon?
It is based off a cartoon.
Yeah, we're so screwed.
Cool. Cool. Does anyone remember any of the SpongeBob games?
Battle for Bikini Bottom, but that was...
Oh, that's... Was that on the GameCube?
There's also an Avatar game on... Definitely on Wii. I don't know if there was one on GameCube, though.
Yeah, there was three on GameCube. Wii. I don't know if one of those... I don't know if they released on Cube. I think they were after that.
Yeah, there was that famous one on the 360 that gave you all the achievements. And that was past GameCube.
The Burning Inferno, I think it was the one you're thinking of.
Something like that.
Ratatouille as well. That was just recently in GDQ.
That would have been
an incredible GDQ. Oh, wait, I said cartoon, right? I didn't say TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
TMNT?
Yeah, I was going to say a bunch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games from Konami of all developers.
How many questions do we have left?
9 questions and a guess.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I didn't realize we were that far. Okay.
We can probably burn some questions on some series. Some, like, either names or like broad things. Like, is it a Nickelodeon game or is it a Pixar game or whatever?
That's what I was thinking we would do.
Yep.
Shall we?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Is this a game based on a Nickelodeon series?
It is a game based on a Nickelodeon series.
Okay. Yeah, right, we're just nailing it down further and further. I think that's still about 40,000 games, though.
I mean, hang on. Wasn't there a Rugrats game back then?
Probably. So both Avatar and SpongeBob and Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trying to remember what Rugrats, else there is.
There was the Wild Thornberries.
It was around this time that I stopped watching Nickelodeon. I was basically exclusively Cartoon Network.
I could believe both of those could be on GameCube as well. Both Rugrats and...
I know there was a Rugrats game because I was working at EB and we kept selling out of the PS2 version of that game. Because it was just down cheap, so you know parents bought it for the kids.
Alright, I'm gonna start with the first guess that Angela made. If it's a SpongeBob, is this game a SpongeBob title?
It is not a SpongeBob title.
Okay, cool. Just knock that out.
Unfortunately, that doesn't narrow it down too much. God.
I just can't think of any.
The other one is Avatar, I guess. We can ask about Avatar.
I'm not convinced that Avatar would have had games at that time. I feel like Avatar got really popular towards the end of its run in like 2007, 2008, 2009
Yeah,
like that.
That's when Wii came out. That's
yeah, Wii came out like 2006 though.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't this a GameCube game?
Yeah, but I'm assuming it's both. That's why he's like, is it on? If it was purely a GameCube game, he would have just answered yes. So I'm assuming it's definitely a Wii game.
Yeah, I guess we haven't. No, wait. What did I? What did we ask? If it was a GameCube?
We just said, was this game on GameCube? And he was like, was iffy about it. And I was like, well, yeah, if it's on GameCube and it's a home console game, then it must have been 100% yes on a Wii. That's my deduction.
We could always ask if it had motion controls.
Yeah, but not every game had motion controls. I'm like, so like, I know the chances of a THQ game on Wii having motion controls is basically 100%. I just don't want to like, we could just ask if it was on Wii. Like, if you want to do that.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Or I could just ask if it's based on Avatar. How many questions do we have left?
You have 7 questions, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
I was going to ask, is this game based on Avatar The Last Airbender?
It is based on Avatar The Last Airbender.
God damn. Oh. All right. Gee.
There we go.
Sorry.
I did not remember an Avatar game on GameCube at all.
Yeah, neither do I.
No, I don't either.
That's what's confusing me now.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I have the 3 GameCube games behind me on a shelf because I haven't put them in a tub. But I don't remember them coming to GameCube.
What was the game? I have no idea what the game was called.
It was Avatar and the Burning Inferno, something like that. There was one based on the movie, but that was definitely on the Wii. I think there was just one called Avatar The Last Airbender. I think that was the first one. And there was something about Kingdom.
And this is the part where the whole thing gets stuck because, yeah, I've got no idea.
Yeah. God, now I'm racking the brain for the box.
Well, I had to
print them out.
Unless, I could ask the achievement thing.
Oh wait,
but it's not relevant.
So wait, hold on a minute. I just realized we could smart this because you didn't say the other two names of the game, right? You said Avatar: Last Airbender, and then you said Burning Something, and then what was the other one? Kingdom Something. So you didn't say the name of the game, so we can ask the meta question of if we've said the name of the game.
Sure.
Right? I feel like that falls within the rules.
It would pick one out.
As in, have we said the full title of the game specifically?
Correct, yes.
Okay, yeah, you could do that.
Does that feel like too much cheating? I don't know if that...
No. That's within the rules.
Okay. That's fine. Have we said the full title of this game?
You have said the full title of this game.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, so that means that... Because if
it's
got to
be Last Airbender. Oh, I guess you did say Burning Inferno, didn't you?
I don't think it was called Burning... I remember it was Burning Something, but I don't know if it was Burning
Inferno. I don't think it was Burning Inferno, because that just seems like a stupid name.
Yeah.
That'd be like saying wet ice. It's kind of like, okay, ice is wet, you know.
Right, hold on. Let's reason this, right? So if there was... If there was an Avatar game, surely the first game would have been called just the name of the show, right? They wouldn't have had Battle for the Inferno or whatever.
The first one was just called Avatar The Last Airbender.
So that must be the one that came out on GameCube then, surely.
Okay. Yeah, go for it. I don't remember this game, but yeah, go for it.
I'd say go for it. I say we just ask if it's that game.
Is there anything else we can do to like narrow it down?
Not without knowing more about the games themselves, like if any of us remember them. I just remember that the second one, I think it was the one that came to Xbox, and that was the one that achievement whores, myself included, got like from a video store and played the first 5 to 10 minutes of it because all you had to do was just do combos. And like for every X amount of combos, you get like successive achievements. And within 10 minutes, you can get the full 1,000.
Damn.
See, I'm pretty sure the second one had the subtitle of Burning Something. Yeah. And I want to say Burning Crusade because it's in my head for this week from WoW, but it's definitely not.
You
called
were
that.
Not prepared.
I remember Burning in one title and Inferno in another.
I think it must be the first one.
Like, there's no chance Avatar The Last Airbender came out after these other ones. Surely.
Avatar The Last Airbender Burning Sensation was not the first title, no.
Shall we guess it?
Lock it in, Eddie.
All right, lock it in. Okay. Hello, my name is Michael. I would like to guess, is this game Avatar The Last Airbender on Nintendo Wii and potentially GameCube? Nobody seems to know.
Alrighty. So, here's the weird thing about this game. It was released on sort of Xbox, Windows, PS2, GameCube, all of that stuff, on October 10, 2006, in the US. And then in November of that year, the Wii version released on in the US. Australia and Europe didn't get any version of it until February 9, 2007, where both versions released on the same day. Anyway, this was developed by THQ Studio Australia, which is an interesting connection. And there was a Game Boy Advance version of this game that was actually developed by Half Brick as well, which is very cool. Anyway, yeah, it's Avatar The Last Airbender. I had like originally gone for the Wii version of this game, but you were like, oh, is it on GameCube? And I was like, kind of. Yeah. Wii version was very slightly different because it had a calligraphy mini game where you like painted with motion controls.
Makes sense. There we go.
I played these a bunch when I was a kid.
Do you know the names of the other games? Were we even close? Yeah.
So the other one is The Burning Earth. The second one. Mm. That's the one that gave you just shit tons of achievements. And then the last one is Into the Inferno. So, like,
One was Burning, the other one was Inferno. That's not bad.
All of those were developed by THQ Studio Australia, which is, pretty cool. I thought that was a fun little local connection, and I didn't think you would struggle so much to to figure out which one it is, because I knew everybody would know, like, The Last Airbender. Although, you know, technically here in Australia, it was called Avatar The Legend of Aang, so...
That's right, yeah.
Interesting.
Now I remember it.
A very weird name change here.
I remember that.
Total side note, did anyone watch the trailer for the new Avatar Last Airbender game? That looks awful.
Yeah, it does look truly, truly awful.
It's a real shame.
Remember when Platinum made a Korra game and everyone was psyched for it?
And then it was kind of mid, yeah.
I'm putting the trailer on the screen for folks who enjoy it.
I thought, you know, again, I wrote this down like a year ago. I'm assuming it was probably when like Avatar stuff was like getting announced and
The movies and all that sort of stuff.
And I kind of want to go back and like play them all, because I remember enjoying them, but I don't know if I still would now.
On a total side note, one of the other options would have been Ratatouille if it was like a Disney thing. And everyone needs to go watch the Ratatouille GameCube run from Summer Games Done Quick 2023, because it is excellent. Like, it is genuinely so good. It is pure entertainment.
How long is it?
Oh, like 20 minutes, probably? 25? Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
I think it's on YouTube or Twitch?
YouTube.
Okay. Ratatouille.
I remember picking up
the watching it right now.
Three Avatar games on the Wii. I didn't watch Avatar when it was, you know, airing. I bought like the season pass on iTunes for like $50 and got all the episodes at once. And as I was getting to the end, I'm like, I don't want this to end. So I was like, I'll buy the games, and I've never played them.
Because
I remember buying them like secondhand, and two of them didn't have cases. So I remember having to like hunt down for like Australian versions of the cases of the box art for them. So
I love that someone in the world played a million hours of Ratatouille just to get the speedrun. Speedrunners, man, it's a whole different universe.
It really is.
Anyway, we will wrap this up. Be sure to visit the site www.vooks.net for all your Nintendo news, reviews, and everything in between. We should have some more reviews going up in the coming week, so interesting stuff. You can find us on Twitter if it's still alive, or I don't know, at vooks.net, which is all spelled out. Or jump on over to our Discord at bit.ly/VooksDiscord. You can find all of our social information, links for the stories covered, all of that shit, in the episode notes on whatever platform you're listening to. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next fortnight.